Good morning. We are going to be having some fun in worship today. And to get you prepared for that, I have a friend with me. This is Luke. He is the grandson of Linda and Donald Pollard visiting us today. We would like you to stand and join us in singing If You're Happy and You Know It. So we're going to sing If You're Happy and You Know It, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, shout hooray. And when we get to the fourth verse, we're going to do all three. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout hooray. You think they can do it, Luke? You think so? All right. Here we go. Now please join me in the call to worship, call to laughter. Christ is risen, risen indeed, alleluia. Now our mourning became dancing by God's gracious love. Our sobs became belly laughs, and new songs are written from our sighs. The punchline sat in the grave's shadows until God played the best joke ever on life. So break into laughter, fill the room with giggles. May our joy sound like April Fool's noisemakers. Come, stoic old folks and snickering kids. Come, all you curmudgeons and worriers. We join the Lord who laughs with us, who raised Jesus with a wink and a grin. Welcome, everyone, to joy everlasting. I invite you now to leap from your seats as you are able and make a joyful noise with our first song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, number 464. ahead and sit down. Before we can truly laugh, we must first let go of what weighs us down. Before joy can rise in us, grace must clear some space. So let us be honest, not because God doesn't know, but because we forget that mercy is already leaning in, smiling, waiting for us to fess up and fall into arms wide with forgiveness. So let us pray together, saying, Gracious and giggling God, we confess that sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. We walk through life stiff with worry, grim with guilt, and frowning with fear. We forget that you created laughter and that joy is a fruit of your spirit. Forgive us for putting a lid on your joy, for muting your music, and for walking around like the resurrection never happened. Remind us that Easter is the world's biggest surprise party, and we are all invited. Tickle our hearts with your grace, nudge us with your mercy, and teach us to live with eyes wide open for holy hilarity. In the name of the risen one who laughed in the face of death. Listen closely, God, as we each quietly whisper our sins to you now. Amen. Here's the good news. God doesn't hold a grudge. God holds us. Christ didn't come to scold us. He came to save us, to shake us out of our sorrow, and to set loose joy in our hearts like confetti in the wind. So laugh, dance, rejoice. For in Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And joy of the Lord be with you and also with you. Let us now pass the peace and joy of Christ to those who are laughing and dancing nearby.
Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro on this Sunday when we are mixing it up a little bit. Holy Humor Sunday is something that many churches celebrate after Easter because, of course, Christ played a cosmic joke on the devil by rising again. And so we will have lighter moments in the service. And at the end of my sermon, I'm going to have a mic, and if you have a joke, clean, of course, then, not that I have to say this to this crowd, but that you'd like to share, that'll be your moment, okay? So those of you who have jokes on your heart, we hope you will offer that. Today in our service, we have large print bulletins. We have lyrics also in large print. Please ask an usher. Listening devices as well. We hope that you'll join us after this fun and cheerful service with coffee fellowship through these doors. Grab something to eat, something to drink, have a chat. We're glad if you can join us. And if you're willing, you'll see a little oblong vinyl pad, and you can fill out your name if you're visiting with us. I see a couple of our Young at Heart folks here today. I think they were intrigued by the idea of a Holy Humor service, so we're glad to see you guys. Invite you to write your name, let us know that you've worshipped here, and if you need anything, please let us know. This week, we have the book study. Let's read this book. They're reading The Prodigal Prophet by Tim Keller. That will be meeting Tuesday at 1:30 in our fireside room. Session will meet later that evening at 6 p.m. Christian Ed is at 1 p.m. I'm not sure where they'll meet, but they'll be meeting then. Thursday, currently, we have a scheduled of a Age Well, Drive Smart event that's put on by the California Highway Patrol. Attendance is a little low right now, so if you're interested, please sign up because we may need to reschedule we don't have enough folks. Also, Thursday evening choir will be rehearsing. You probably noticed if you came through the Estadio part of the building that our construction is now underway to repair our church tower, to seal it up so that we don't get water damage, and we're seems to be going well. Also, on a pastoral note, we learned last week about Susie Christie, who's been a member here, and then moved down to Southern California with her husband, Randy, that she passed away, I think, on Easter. Is that right, Lou? She passed away on Easter Sunday. How appropriate, right? And so we hold Randy and her family in prayer. Next week, we are going to be beginning a four-week class, and it's going to be about better ways to read the Bible. If you have ever opened the book, opened the Bible and went, I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing here. What is this stuff all about? This is going to be an opportunity to think through and to be exposed to some ways that we can read the Bible that will help us grow in our faith. I'll be doing a worship series that's goes along with it. It's not going to be follow one-to-one, but invite you to think about taking that. That's going to be next Sunday at 11 a.m. in our fireside room. Finally, I want to invite Gigi McLeod forward. She's here somewhere. Gigi is going to tell us about an opportunity for us to be generous to families in need, and then read our opening scripture.
Good morning. This is a very serious subject, but maybe we can all rejoice in the fact that most of us are able to lighten the experience of someone else's life through this project. If you regularly attend Young at Heart every month, then you may remember that about 3 years ago we had a presentation by the leaders of a local organization called Building Futures. And as you may have already read in the worship bulletin, the mission of this organization is to help women and children who are escaping domestic violence situations. And the organization helps women who have left their abusive homes, often leaving with nothing. They help them begin again with safe, affordable housing. And when a woman and child move and her children move into safe housing, Building Futures ensures that they receive a move-in kit. This kit provides basic supplies, all new and unused, to assure a livable environment. These items include big things such as an air mattress to use as a bed, pillows and bed linen, towels and bath supplies, pots and pans, silverware, glasses, and then things like cleaning supplies and shampoo and toilet paper and even diapers. So the Deacons Board has been sending a quarterly contribution to Building Futures way back since that first Young at Heart presentation. And then about 3 years ago, we also came together as a church to provide all of the items that made up one move-in kit. And this year, we're going to do it again with the goal of providing two complete kits. So during coffee hour for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be in Fellowship Hall at a table. This week, you can find me under the basket ball on this side of the, I'll just be at the only table there where there's somebody at table. I will have a list of everything that is needed, and you can sign up to provide one or more items. I've created an Amazon wish list with all of the supplies. If you would like to shop off of that wish list, I can send the link to you. Otherwise, you can shop on your own for the items. You can also contribute monetarily towards the purchase of the gift cards, which are also provided. They get like a $25 Walmart card and a $25 Target card. And, you know, there's like 4 cards, I think, that they get. So if you are able to contribute in any way to this effort, just come to the table that I will be at during coffee hour today or over the next 2 Sundays. Thank you. Directly into reading the scripture for today, which can be found on page 798 of your pew Bible. I will be reading Job 8, verses 19 through 22. Surely its life withers away, and from the soil other plants grow. Surely God does not reject one who is blameless or strengthen the hands of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Your enemies will be clothed in shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no more.
Thank you, choir. Our second reading from the Good Book today is taken from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, the page numbers in your bulletin. We're taking a snippet here from the larger parable story of the prodigal son. Remember, the gist of this story is that a man had 2 sons, and he had the younger one come and ask for his inheritance. And so his father gave it to him, and then the son left home, and he spent it all on wild living. And he eventually spent it all. He was completely broke, and not knowing what else to do, he decided that it was going to be better if he would live in his father's house as a servant rather than try to make it on his own. And so he travels back home, not expecting anything. you know, he had squandered the inheritance. So the father saw the son. He ran out to him. He's ecstatic to see his younger son. And then he says this. The father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A biblical scholar, Robin Gallagher Branch, writes about her experience one day of reading the Bible. She said, I remember one day resolving to do arduous work in 2 Chronicles. Let's be honest, 2 Chronicles is not a fun read in the Bible. I'm just saying. So she writes, I was studiously plowing through the reigns of Solomon through Jehoshaphat, and I came to 2 Chronicles 21:20 and laughed outright. The text reads, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away, to no one's regret, and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. And so she says, being a wordsmith myself, I smiled at this bygone sign, relieved at the death of the monarch. Evidently, Jehoram was not well-liked, and the editorial statement provides a light touch, comic relief of the usual formula. And let's remember, he didn't even get to be buried with the other kings. They really did not like this guy. So today is known as Holy Humor Sunday, which comes out of the early church theologians like Augustine and Gregory of Nyssa, a tradition that says God played a practical joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. Easter, it can be said, was God's supreme joke played on death. And so year after year, churches like ours are celebrating the Easter season in this new way. There's even a group called, I like this, the Fellowship of Merry Christians in the United States. And we're pulling from a variety of customs, from Orthodox to Roman Catholic and Protestant. One old custom originating in the Bavarian practice was a custom of the faithfully gathering back in church on Easter afternoon for a time of storytelling and practical jokes. The early Orthodox Christians gathered on Monday after Easter to tell stories and anecdotes. And in Slavic regions to this day, Christians gather the day after Easter for folk dancing and feasting. And so these Sundays after Easter have become a time to celebrate the big joke that God pulled on Satan. And let's be honest, we need this. We live in pretty tense times right now. A lot of things are swirling around us. And it's easy to kind of get trapped in that doom loop. Do you ever find yourself kind of doom scrolling on your phone to see what the latest crazy thing that's going on in the world is? Yeah, it's not much fun. So today we're focusing on laughter, which releases tension. It'll help us take ourselves so seriously and help us reengage in the world. So holy humor helps us to recognize and remember that this really is God's world. And we are called to minister. And it isn't all up to us because God is in charge. Now the good news for us is that the Holy Spirit, one of the parts of the Trinity, is always a part of laughter, because the word spirit also means breath. And have you ever tried to laugh without breathing? Yeah, no, you really can't. You really got to have to push air. And so today we are looking on the bright side of life. It's said that one pastor gave one of the shortest Holy Humor sermons ever on Holy Humor Sunday. He said, he announced that the focus of the talk would be on sin. Don't do it, he said. Amen. Then he sat down. Sorry, guys. No luck today, okay? So let's turn to our first scripture reading. And it may feel a bit odd to include a passage from the book of Job on such a Sunday as this. After all, most of this book is about Job's life destructing around him, his friends moralizing, and God swooping in to let Job know that he is the God of all creation. And yet, here in this small passage, in a book that is grappling with the notion of how bad things can happen to good people and God's judgment, here we find a passage that, at first glance, seems to promise good things to blameless people. It says, "See, God will not reject a blameless person, nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." Sounds pretty good. I think I could get on that program. But let's zoom out to get some of the context. This is actually the end of a long speech by a friend, a character in this book called Bildad, a friend who has been urging Job to repent of his strong words about his suffering and his anguish and his pleading to God. And frankly, Bildad has not been a compassionate listener. When Bildad speaks these words to Job, it's with an attitude of judgment. And this reminds me of when well-intentioned people try to give positive thinking to those who are still in mourning over a loss and have big feelings about it. And while the advice is true, most folks will in time experience laughter and joy again. People often give this advice and these messages prematurely because it's uncomfortable to hear and listen to somebody who's sad and angry. Often we want to skip over the part of the journey where folks need to grieve a loss before they can find joy again. And so I'm mindful that in this room, we have a number of folks grieving in our congregation over the loss of a parent, a spouse, a family member, or a longtime friend. And to you today, I say, we see you and we hear you. We walk with you in your sorrows, and we love you as you grieve your loss. And so, as we celebrate the Holy Humor today, let us also remember to have our compassionate ears to those who are walking through those kinds of journeys. Now, let's turn to the second scripture, the one from the Gospel of Luke. It's a snippet of the story of the prodigal son. And so we have this feast. You know, we are going to have a feast, a celebration, the father declares, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found. And I'm mindful that retired biblical scholar Jill Levine, reminds us that in early Jewish culture, there's less likely to be high judgment from the father than what some scholars would lead us to believe. She thinks this father's excited reaction to his son's return is completely in character for the time, racing out to meeting the young man, throwing a party in his honor, which matches two stories also in this chapter of Luke of the lost coin and the lost sheep. She also believes the servants of the house and the villagers would have been very eager to come to the party, much like the neighbors who rejoiced with a woman who found her valuable coin. And so immediately after the father declares, "It's party day," the older brother cannot handle this. He's been the responsible one. He's been the one who's hung in there with his dad. And to see his younger brother receiving overwhelming love and acceptance after he's dead, he just can't handle it. So he stomps off. And so our older brother has this lesson to learn too, the lesson of love, the lesson of welcoming the lost who have been found. The father in the story makes clear to the older brother that he's invited to become a close son too. Everyone, the father declares, everyone is welcome to this party. And so through the story, Jesus is asking those scribes and Pharisees, will you really not be happy when sinners are brought back into the fold? Won't you join me and the shepherd and the housewife and the father in welcoming those who've been lost to God back into community? I think it's appropriate on a Holy Humor Sunday that this story invites our church to live into even more being places where the lost are found. If we are really believing in communities of faith, then when one of God's children is lost, we are the co-owners who know they are going to need help to get found. And so I wonder who in each of our lives might be lost that we might be called to minister to party with. What would it take for us to help them be found? And who it is that we'd put on a big party for, because we'd be so glad to join them in the banquet of life. Because we are now in this season of Easter, it's the time of remembering the joy and the love of Christ that has come to us, and to ponder, how are we going to live knowing Easter joy? What does it really mean to be living in the resurrection life that Jesus offers? How do we live with light and joy and humor? How can we live joyfully as our text from Job and Luke invite us to come and eat, to avoid saying no to the banquet opportunities in life? You know, it could be a meal like the one a little girl described. You see, a woman had invited some people to dinner, and at the table she turned to her 6-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say a blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," the little girl replied. "Just say what you hear mommy say," the mother said. The little girl bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" The truth is, we know how our stories and journeys of life will end. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And some people are prepared to die. And one such person was Benjamin Franklin, who wrote his own epitaph. Listen to this. "The body of B. Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author." And so, friends, let's remember as we exit, let's not have long faces today. We should exit laughing, because Jesus is alive and the gospel story is not a tragedy. Amen. So, friends, it's time when we can share a word of laughter with each other. Are there folks who might have a story or a joke to tell? Oh, Don? Not a surprise. Especially since I talked to you this week, yeah.
Exactly, I came prepared. I know, don't be nervous. But you should be.
Linda's looking nervous, that's okay.
So Adam wakes up and finds Eve counting his ribs and asks, "What are you doing?" Eve says, "I want to make sure there's not another woman in your life." So how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? We don't know. They are still standing in a circle praying for the light to come back on. How do you know that Jesus likes coffee? Hebrews Oh, a priest is pulled over after a cop sees him driving erratically. Cop says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" The priest replied, "Just water." "Officer, why?" "Then what is that bottle doing over on the seat?" "Praise Jesus, he's done it again." Now, what is a dentist's favorite hymn? "Crown him many crowns." Like, y'all know the Flintstones, right? So why is it the people from Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but the people from Abu Dhabi do? Unbelievable. Did you hear about the cross-eyed school teacher? She couldn't control her pupils. That happened to be my mother's favorite joke. She laughed every time at her own jokes.
Okay.
I think I have one more.
Okay.
What do you call a priest who becomes a lawyer? A father-in-law.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be a tough act to follow. Bob, you had one. Yeah, come and stand up. Yeah,
I was hearing about a contest that they had between three guys to see who could find a Bible verse the quickest. There was a Baptist and an Evangelical and a Presbyterian. And on every one, the Baptist came out first. They would call out a verse. He would just hold it up like this, and it would automatically open to that verse. And the Evangelical, well, he had all those little tabs on the side so that he could find the find it really quickly. But the Presbyterian was way behind. He had really hard time getting the shrink wrap off.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Lowell.
Okay. This is a story, it's a true story. Just a little bit of background. Our oldest grandson was kind of known in the family for totally unintentionally making everybody laugh. So when he was about 3 or 4 years old, like most little boys, he was into, superheroes, Batman, Superman, and so forth. And our daughter had him enrolled in a Lutheran daycare in San Ramon, where close to where he lives. And I think it was orientation day because the mothers were all with the kids, and the teacher had him sitting in a circle on the floor and with the moms. And the teacher was trying to teach him about the Trinity. And when she came and said, "The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," Zach, in a real loud voice, says, "Don't tell me there's three of those guys up there."
Okay. Oh, Faye, yeah.
Well, this happened several years ago, and my brother and daughter-in-law had a young son who's now all grown up. But they would come for Easter services, so Aaron would be sitting out there listening to the story of Easter and about the rolling the stone away and the resurrection. And so Aaron said, "What does the Easter bunny have to do with this?"
A little education. Why do we have Easter eggs with bunnies, too? That never made any sense. No, they don't have to be. They don't have to be.
All right, so there's a river. There's a blonde on this side. There's a blonde on that side. And the one on this side says, "How do I get to the other side?" And this blonde says, "You're already on the other side."
Love it. Tina? No? Okay, sorry. Anybody else? Oh, over here. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So this guy on YouTube said, this woman said he was in a church, and this woman said, "Serve." And he was like, "I want a cheeseburger."
Okay. Well, thank you. I am sure there are more jokes that you can share at coffee hour. So, friends, I invite you to stand as you are able for our next hymn, I Danced in the Morning, number 302. Danced in the
seated. Every week we stop and talk and bless what we give to God. The amounts of our gifts range from minimal to abundant, but it's not the size of the gift that blesses God. Rather, it is the heart of the giver. So today, of all days, don't give grudgingly or out of obligation, but give with joyful hearts, knowing that God will take your gift and use it to bless others and make an eternal impact. This time I invite our ushers to come forward to collect the morning offering. good and gracious God, our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongues sing songs of joy. When we give of ourselves through our time, our talent, and our treasure, we experience God's squeals of delight from within as joyous fulfillment. Use these gifts, O God, to spread your light to the world so that all who are touched by your presence may be filled with your love, peace, joy, and grace. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us continue in prayer. O Lord, giver of joy and laughter, we thank you for giving us these gifts. For the moments of laughter and unbridled joy you give to us, for opportunities to laugh at ourselves, for the belly laughs of children, for friends and family who love us because of our quirks and not just in spite of them, for artists who give us the opportunity to see the world through the surreal, and for the courage to smile even when difficulties arrive, for those who have hope even when others think there is no hope, for the saints in the Lord who overflow with laughter and spread your joy to all of us. We thank you for the words of Jesus that defy our logical mind, for teaching us that we can be born again, for the woman who finds a lost coin and calls her friends and neighbors to celebrate, for the absurdity of a camel trying to fit through the eye of a needle, for the father of the prodigal son who is willing to look like a fool as he runs to greet his son, for the generosity of the landowner who will pay workers a whole day's wage when they only worked 1 hour, for tiny bits of faith that can move entire mountains, for the reality that nothing can live unless it first dies. We pray for those who are grieving, those who experience injustice, those who lack food, water, clothing, or shelter, those who live in the midst of violence, and those who are subject to wars by outside forces. We thank you for the great reversal of the gospel, that the last shall be made first, that the rejected stone became the cornerstone, and those who wish to become great must serve, that the lost will be found, that the small will become great, and that though you are wisdom, you choose to forget our sins, that when we are weak, your strength shines through us. O Lord, giver of joy and laughter, we thank you for the giving of these gifts. And thank you for the gift you give us that allows us to enjoy these things to the full, that we can laugh because of the most amazing thing of all, that you conquered death, that the tomb is empty, that the light shone so bright that it overcame the darkness. All these things we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. And so, friends, I ask you to stand one last time as we sing our last song, What a Wonderful World. It's the white insert in your bulletin. So friends, go. Go with the joy and laughter and deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star. Deep peace, joy, and laughter to all of you. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you.